Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
It is a beautiful day outside today.
Amen.
And it has been an interesting week for me, learning things from the Lord and being shown things by the Lord. And maybe not learning things yet, but because I know that learning means that you are showing by going forward going in a different way and having shown that you have learned that thing. I've had a lot of things to learn. I thought it was interesting when we went down to Pennsylvania on our trip. There was a road in Pennsylvania called the Can-Do Expressway. And I thought, this is an interesting name for a road that is full of ruts and potholes and bumps and nastiness. And I thought, can do, huh? So, and it kind of describes my week this week. It's been a can do week for me. Although in my own fleshly mind, it has been a I can't do it, Lord, week. I have not felt well this week, and we've been packing trailer and moving trailer and weighing trailer, and I'm learning a lot about trailers. But it's not something that my flesh really wants to do, but I know it's what the Lord wants me to do, so I'm doing it, and it's a can-do thing, and it's been a joy, actually. A couple of verses came to mind when I was thinking about this. Is Colossians 1, verse 23. If ye continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel, which ye have heard, and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister, who now rejoice in my sufferings for you, and fill up that which is behind of the afflictions of Christ in my flesh for his body's sake, which is the church. And it goes on, but I focus on verse 23. If you continue in the faith grounded and settled, and grounded and settled is you have that foundation, you're grounded, you are staying with him no matter what. And settled is where you're steadfast and you're immovable. And if you stay immovable and steadfast in that faith and stop looking to your flesh like I was doing like a million times this week. Unbelievable. It was bad. And I knew it was bad, and I kept on fighting and fighting and fighting. So this verse came to me because this is where we need to be, is grounded and settled in that faith that the Lord is going to be with us. He's not forsaking us. He doesn't just walk away and say, oh, you're toast. Too bad for you. Not if we're looking to him and we want to do the things that he would have us do. And as far as doing the things he wants us to do, it's so much better if you have the attitude of, I want to do this, rather than, okay, I got to do this. All right, here we go. That's not the right attitude. That's the attitude of can't do. That's a don't be. And I found that even if it's something I don't want to do, it's so much better to just decide that it is going to be something I want to do and change your mind about it. And it just works so much better. It's just, you know, difference of night and day. And with me, it's not so much not wanting to do a thing. With me, it's more, I can't do this. I can't do this. But then I have to get reminded of Philippians 4:13, where the Lord says, Paul says, you can do all things through Jesus Christ, which strengtheneth you. And I didn't say it right, but I paraphrased it, but I can do all things through Christ Jesus, which strengtheneth me. And I have to keep reminding myself of that because I keep failing and I keep falling backward, but I know that he's there for me. I have to keep on fighting. And it is a hard fight, but it's a joyful fight too, because you know, you see the end of that. After you get through a thing, you see the end of it, and it's, ah, Lord, you got me through again. Ah, you got me through this day. Thank you, Lord. I think that was all I had to share today about my week. So, praise the Lord. He is there for us. Amen.
Here, and you know, it's funny, Karen, as you bring up Colossians 1:23, I just want to go back to that for a moment. Probably longer than a moment. Davey says, my seconds are like, I forget, he was translating Steve speak into what actually happens, and that's not a good testimony of me. Happens to be a true testimony of me. And this verse actually hits on the hope we can have, notwithstanding that. You know, it says, if ye continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel. And the part I wanted to hit on there is, be not moved from the hope, moved away from the hope of the gospel. Because as I talk with folks, and I talk with a fair number of you, and I talk with a fair number of folks generally who are Christians, and in this fellowship in particular, one of the biggest struggles I see that people have, and I get it, is they just see how awful they are. I mean, just unbelievable awfulness incarnate. And I hear this, and as you remember, I used to speak a lot about my own awfulness. And I used to talk about, I'm terrified of my old man, and Davey kind of rebuked me in a minister's meeting. Of course, might as well have everybody together if we're going to rebuke Steve. So we did. Praise God. And he said, I laugh at my old man. Okay. And the reason is that your old man is not bigger than Jesus Christ and him crucified, folks.
Amen.
He knew your old man from the beginning. And I'm not talking about the beginning of all time. I'm talking about from the day you received him as your Lord and Savior. He already knew the complete and total utter disaster that you are. And he decided to love you anyways. The newsflash part is, you didn't realize what a complete and total utter disaster you were. So as you begin to see that, you begin to despair. You begin to get depressed. You begin to, what hope is there for me? Well, those are all lies right out of the pits of hell. They are all lies right out of the pits of hell. Why? Because his grace is sufficient for you. His grace, what's it say? Where sin abounds. So now you can see it. Oh my God, sin abounds. And I found the problem and it is me. Right? And you see that and you look up and you go, oh God, I mean, I can't do anything. I can't do anything. And all I can say is, bull, you know what. All right? That is a lie right out of the pits of hell. It is a lie. 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 You cannot give it any place. You cannot give that any place. It is a truth that you are a disaster. Yes. I'm not saying that's BS. That is pure 100% unadulterated truth. You are a disaster. Now get over yourself. Because it really doesn't matter. It doesn't matter at all. It does not inhibit Jesus Christ one bit. It does not inhibit him at all. In being able to do every work of God in and through you. There is not a single work of God that your sin is too big for God's grace to cover. And you know what? When you don't worry about that and you step out, now what do people see? For the first time, they see Jesus. They see Jesus. And they see the truth of the gospel. They see the truth of the gospel. And you can make manifest and walk in demonstration of the Spirit and of power because you have been set free from this body of sin and death. You have been set free. And the grace of God is sufficient to cover you. So it's an interesting thing. Look, when we receive Jesus as our Lord and Savior, you know, I was obviously speaking to somebody this week, and I said to him, I said, yeah, you know, I mean, look, no, I get it. I'm not perfect. I'm a sinner. I mean, I'm not Adolf Hitler, right? Isn't that how we like to think? You know, we always have people we compare ourselves to that we're not like that person. I mean, that person's really a bad sinner. See, and that's the lie. No, you were every bit as much of a sinner as them, too. Every bit as much of a sinner. See, the big difference that happens, the reason why you see these people who were sinners, I mean, they were bad sinners. They might have been drug dealers, or they might have been murderers, or they might have been these things. The reason why so many of those people, when they receive the grace of God and truth, go forward is because they had no sense of themselves having any goodness to begin with. Your problem is you actually do think that you've got some redeemable qualities and everything. So it becomes a news flash to you when you learn that you were wrong. And it becomes depressing and it becomes all of these things. All right? Just get over yourself. I mean, look, you see it? Yes. That's where you apply that blood of Jesus Christ. That's where you are not moved away from the hope of the gospel. See, it would not be the hope of the gospel if all of a sudden your flesh was changed. And your flesh was no longer the way you don't like it to be. Then you would be able to look at yourself and go, I've arrived. I'm awesome, man. You follow what I'm saying? You wouldn't have to have any hope in the gospel at all. Why do you think church is basically about you go to a different church and you get a different set of rules that you find easier to meet than at another church? I like those rules. I can keep those rules. Right? And that's what people do. I can say my Hail Marys. I can believe that I knelt down one time and therefore it doesn't matter what I do the rest of my life, I'm saved. Or I'm really working hard. I don't eat pork. I don't swear. I only say the right words. I pay tithes. I do all these things. And every single thing all of these people are doing is looking at something they did, not at what Christ did. See, our carnal mind loves that. Our carnal mind loves that because then our carnal mind, we can be justified in ourselves. We don't have to hang on to the hope of the gospel. See, the hope of the gospel stands in the midst of pure, unadulterated sin and goes, you know what? I laugh at you. I laugh at you because my God had to die for me and His grace is sufficient for me. And so now you're able to move forward. And this is where you come out of the trenches, folks. This is where you come out of being all about yourself and all the other things is you come out because you are now set, you are forgiven and set free. And so now your focus can turn off of yourself and your lousiness and your pitifulness and your every is you want to put on it that is not pleasant. It can turn from off of you onto the one whom it's supposed to be on, Jesus. And now that fact that you believe and are not moved away from the hope of the gospel turns your focus onto him and others and off yourself. And as your focus turns onto him and others and off yourself, now you can see to minister unto those around you. And you can minister unto them as he would minister unto them. Your eye can become single. It can become single. And that singleness of focus be on him and the sufficiency of his grace, the power of his spirit, the love that passeth understanding. Because does it not pass understanding when you see yourself for how you actually are, that anybody could love you? Isn't that the problem we have with believing it? Is that it seems to pass our understanding that anybody could love me. Isn't that what happened? And the fact of the matter is, that is his love. And it is sufficient. And so now you can go forward in Christ. Now, I want to turn to James, and I believe it's chapter 2. The thing that's been coming to me this week, I actually listened while I was doing some things yesterday to a sermon that Brother Davey preached over in South Carolina a couple weeks ago. And he was talking about, you know, a city that is set on a hill. Remember that one? He was talking about the city. It's in Matthew 5, I believe. The city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. And he was talking about, look, you know, if you've received Jesus, so you've the blood of Jesus Christ has washed away your sin. You've been baptized in water, so you've been separated into his body. And your spirit has been joined with his spirit in the baptism of the Holy Spirit. You are now fully equipped, lacking absolutely nothing. Think of that for a moment. You are now fully equipped and lacking absolutely nothing to walk as he walked. Lacking absolutely nothing. Now, it gets easier to step out in it when you see more people walking in demonstration of that spirit and of power. It gets easier. There's no doubt about it, because then things begin to become kind of normal that we read about in the scripture, which is what church is supposed to be. It's supposed to be normal to see people healed. It's supposed to be normal to see people get deliverance. It's supposed to be normal to see all the gifts of God operating in and through a fellowship. These are all things that are supposed to be, to us, the new normal, if you will. The old normal was, wow, that's a miracle. The new normal is, hey, that's what we do. You follow what I'm saying? That's what we do. And look, folks, I get it. I mean, you know, I have experienced and walked in the power of God to heal the sick, to cast out devils, to perform miracles. But I know that myself, I mean, I look at myself and to me, notwithstanding that which I have experienced, to me it seems unbelievably scanty. I mean, like if I were to look, I mean, to me, I look at myself as a minister and I struggle not to see myself as a complete and total unadulterated failure continuously. Now, I know people hear me say that and they just can't even fathom that and stuff like that. I get this. I understand. I've been dealing with it for years, that you guys cannot fathom that the things I think about myself, I actually think about myself. I get that. It doesn't change the fact that it's true. It doesn't change the fact that it's true. I mean, personally, this is my feeling about myself. And I focus on the word feeling because, look, God is my judge. You know, I found I'm very bad at it, being my own judge. I preach a message and I'm thinking, oh, gosh. And David will call, that's the best message you ever preached. I'm thinking, oh my God, how do I do that again? Because I thought it was awful. So I found that I am a complete and total lousy judge of myself. But the fact of the matter is, I do. That's how I feel. I see people who are sick, and I see them come sick, and I see them leave sick. And, you know, the thing about it is that, you know, sometimes, I try and work my way through it and see where it is. Is it some lack of faith on my part? Is it the fact that the person who comes sick doesn't have faith to be healed? Because, of course, if you're a believer, you got to believe. You know what I'm saying? You got to believe. And where does all that come down? You know, and the truth of the matter is God knows. But I know for myself, it makes me pissed. It makes me angry. I never like it. I want you to know, I never like it. To me, that is fury develops inside of me associated with such things. An internal fury that just is furious about these things yet plaguing people. And, you know, I don't know about you guys, but the thing is that I don't know whether a fury develops in you about the things that plague you. Do you have a fury about these things? Do you have a holy fury that wants with whatever it takes to get free of the different things and to be willing to hear and receive the truth so you can get free? Because it's the truth that makes us free. You know what I'm saying? It's the truth that makes us free. And so I know for myself, I mean, it is a fury. And when I see things people are going on, I mean, it regularly comes up in my life, in my prayers for you. And my prayers in looking at the situations and seeking the Lord for what He would have me do in situations. And don't get me wrong, I'm not sitting here saying I do in these things and have done in these things perfectly. I mean, God knows. Okay? I don't. So to me, the fury remains because I want to see them. I want to see the person free. You follow what I'm saying? I want to see the person free. And if it's because I lacked the courage to step out for them, then praise God. Change me, Lord. I want to have the courage to step out. And if it's because they don't believe or they're not ready to receive a truth or whatever, then Lord, I mean, bring them to the place where they can. May I be of service to you to that end. You follow what I'm saying? But that thing we have to realize every single one of us are fully equipped. And whether I have walked it out perfectly or not, or what multitude of shortcomings I've had in the midst of it, doesn't justify you in not getting and going for it. You follow what I'm saying? Each of us individually have to accept that responsibility of faith. Nobody can accept it for you. All right? Nobody can accept it for you. And the beauty of what the Lord gives, you know, He gives us only one thing that is free. You know, people in America, we like to talk about rights, and I've got the right to this, and I've got the right to that. No. The Lord gives us one right. He gives us a free will, so we have the freedom to choose. You have the freedom to choose what you will believe. And no prison, no sword, no girlfriend, no anything can take that away from you unless you give it to Him. And that's a choice. If you give it to Him, you've made a choice. And you've made a choice. Generally, what it comes down to is you haven't wanted to accept the responsibility of having to choose for yourself. You haven't accepted the responsibility for wanting to choose for yourself. And that's the thing, is each of us have to work out our own salvation with fear and trembling. Each of us stand before the Lord alone. None of us go to stand before the Lord with somebody else. None of us are going to be able to say, well, he did this or she did that, or I just did what he or she said. None of us are going to be able to justify ourselves on any such basis. But when you choose to accept that choice, and you then realize that, for example, if you look over here in James, where he says in verse 17 and 18 of chapter 2, turn over there, and he says, even so faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. Yea, a man may say, thou hast faith and I have works. Shew me thy faith without thy works, and I will shew thee my faith by my works. Thou believest that there is one God, thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. You like that one? See? The devils also believe and tremble. But wilt thou, O vain man, that faith, but wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? See, we are equipped to show people our faith. And the truth of the matter is, we do. Every single one of you listening right now, without an exception, show other people your faith. No. The truth of the matter is, it's a testimony against many of you. Because your faith is vain. You see what I'm saying? Every single individual on this earth, an atheist, shows people their faith by their works. A Muslim shows people their faith by their works. A Hindu shows people their faith by their works. A Christian shows people their faith by their works. Every single person, that's true of. Do you show people faith in Christ Jesus by your works? Do you show people the faith of the gospel by your works? Where you go forward forgiven and free, walking in love and power? That's the nut, really, folks, where we are at. It's a nut that I have to wrestle with. It's a nut you have to wrestle with. You may not have seen it as such a nut to wrestle with. And it's, you know, it can be a tough one because, what's it say over there? Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel unto every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. This is Mark 16, for those who do not know. Turn it over. And these are the signs. In my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. So then, after the Lord had spoken unto them, he was received up into heaven and sat on the right hand of God, and they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word with signs following. Amen. Davies talked about it in the past as a kind of a litmus test. You know, if ye believe the gospel and are baptized, and that's the three baptisms there, baptism of blood, water, and spirit. If you believe and are baptized, then these signs shall follow you. If the signs aren't following, what's it testifying about what you believe? Now look, folks, that's hard. I started off with something that's easy. You know, I don't care how sinful you are. I don't care how bad you see yourself are. I don't care about that. The grace of God is sufficient. Well, really, what I've just said is just as easy. It's actually just as easy. It's no harder than the other, because all we have to do is, just like Karen was saying when she was up here, when she sees what she has to do, what she ought to do, she chooses to want to do that. Right? It's just a choice. And when she makes the choice, everything gets easier. Up until the point that she makes the choice, everything is harder. Right? And it really, the truth is, before you make the choice, it's not only harder, it sucks. Miserable. I mean, just downright awful. You may remember last week, Charlie talking about the darkness that he was in over that during the winter here in December and January and the like, and he finally kind of had his breakthrough, if you will. Abraham talked about it, just, you know, the great horror of darkness that came over Abraham. Okay, this is a place that each of us have to pass through. Everybody has to pass through it. That great horror of darkness, if you're going to walk in and enter into the kingdom of God and operate in it, you have to pass through it. You have to pass through that recognition that you are nothing, and that really you have to come to the place to realize that your faith in many instances has been vain. And it's not an attractive thing to see. But when you recognize that, now you can decide to do something about it, right? And when you decide to do something about it, that's where God, in His grace and in His love and in His long suffering and in His patience and in His kindness and in all the attributes of His love, meets you. He meets you. And He brings you out. And as He brings you out, who do you have a testimony of, and who do you thank? You have a testimony of Him, which does what? It strengthens your faith. It strengthens your faith in Him. It's not a vain faith. That's faith where it's supposed to be. It strengthens your faith in Him. And when you then tell others, you tell others with authority. Why? Because it's not something I've told you. It's not something you've read. It's something you've experienced. And nobody can take that experience away from you. Nobody can take it away from you. Absolutely nobody. And so, look, folks, it's a... This is a sobering thing. A sobering message. I get that. But I want you to understand, the place the Lord wants you to live every day is soberly. You know, when you live soberly in Christ Jesus, you look at things as they are, as opposed to how you would want them to be. And when you interact and you live in that place of soberliness, now the Lord can really move mightily in and through you. Because now you just want to know the truth. You don't care who the truth testifies against, how the truth testifies, and all the other things. You just want to know the truth. Because you know it's the truth that sets you free. And so you're willing to receive truths, even if they're unpleasant, about yourself. Because you just prefer it. And you're not hung up about yourself and your shortcomings and failures and all the other things. You recognize that, hey, you know what? I'm not here to justify myself about any of it. I'm not here to tell you it's okay that which I did. I'm not here to tell you anything like that. But I'm here to learn from my mistakes. I'm here to thank God for His grace and to go forward in that grace, being free of any condemnation associated with the failures of my past. And I'm able to then go forward. You are able to go forward then to confront the challenges of today with soberness, with power, with love in Christ Jesus. And you can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth you. Amen.
Amen.